please don't invite me to preach if you don't want me to preach the truth. I know that, Brother Gorman. I know that. I understand it, but I'm just saying that. I'm just making a statement. I understand it. I appreciate Brother Gorman. I appreciate the Bryan Station Baptist Church, and this is a privilege God has given. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. I lay awake most of the night last night thinking about what I'm not going to say today. By the grace of God. But then I also thought about God being my helper, what I am going to say. My subject this morning is salvation by God's free grace in Christ. Salvation by God's free grace in Christ. Several years ago, I was encouraged by some of my brethren to go to the Jubilee in Atlanta, Georgia. And I said, I refuse to go to the Jubilee that preaches against the doctrines of grace and church truth. And I believe that we, as New Testament Baptist churches and pastors, need to draw the line. We should not let friendship influence or lead us away from the truths of God's Word. Isn't it wonderful to see the zeal among many of the brethren that are here at this conference for the truth? I'm reminded of long ago when one wrote in the Word of God, said, who's on the Lord's side? Brother, it ain't my side. It ain't Brother Gormley's side. It ain't Brother Jones's side. It's the Lord's side. And I believe that we need to line up with the Lord and with the truth of God's Word. So, this message would never be preached at the Jubilee. Men like Ed Below, Wesley Grant, and fellows like that, you'll never hear them preach on the subject of salvation by God's free grace in Christ. Somebody said, well, I don't think you ought to call names. Well, wouldn't it be marvelous if I got up this morning and said, now, I'm going to preach, but I don't really want you to know what it is. And I'm not going to really tell you what it is. I'm going to sort of slip up on it. Now, wouldn't that be great? That's about where we are. That is about what it has come to. But I believe that these great truths, marvelous truths of God's Word, of salvation by God's free grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, we say and we know and we believe that God's grace is free. We believe and know according to the Bible, the Word of God, even though it does not say per se, that we know God's grace is sovereign. Somebody said that's sort of like talking about wet water. Water's wet. It might be. But brethren, I believe that God's grace is sovereign. And I believe a biblical term as was used in the Acts chapter 4 verse 33, that God's grace is great. And the reason that God's grace is great is because in Ephesians 2:11 it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. And so we see from these verses that I have mentioned here or read this morning in your hearing in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through 14, I want us to notice the blessings of grace. First of all, I want us to think about, number one, the ground and the cause of salvation of sinners. And there is no other ground and no other cause for the salvation of sinners than in Almighty God and in the grace of God. And the moving cause of salvation of sinners is in God. And it is with God, it is not man, and it is not with man, but it is in God. The Apostle Paul, writing this truth, he mentions this, the ground and the cause in verse 3. And here's what he says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly place. He is referring or talking about the free grace of God in Christ. We know that God is the God of Christ. As Christ is man and mediator, and God is the Father of Christ. As Christ is by God an eternal and unspeakable generation. Well, listen to what he says in Psalms 2:7. I will declare the decree, the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. So, when Paul writes, he says, blessed be God. In other words, he's emphasizing and saying that the ground of our salvation is with God and the cause of our salvation is with God. And it is not with anybody else and it's not anywhere else. So he says, blessed be God. In other words, we congratulate His goodness and His grace. Is exactly what the Word of God is saying. And He's saying, we ascribe glory and honor to Him and give thanks to Him for all spiritual blessings. For there is wherein that we find all spiritual blessings. And so, we see that Paul is explaining that God is the author and God is the giver of spiritual blessings. There is no other source. There is no other place for them to come from. So God is the author and the giver of spiritual blessings. And these spiritual blessings are more than the common or the temporal blessings. Now God does bless us with temporal blessings. It's evident, isn't it, today among us of the temporal blessings that God blesses us with, but also it is evident of the spiritual blessings that God blesses us with. We must remember they are spiritual blessings. They are blessings that are of mercy. They are blessings that are by grace. The grace of God. They are through the eternal covenant. I'm so glad for what the brother sang. That's what I'm going to preach. I had no idea what he was going to say. But I'm so glad of what he sang. And it was through the eternal covenant. And so all things pertaining to our justification, all things pertaining to our peace, all things pertaining to our pardon, all things pertaining to our adoption, all things pertaining to our sanctification, all things pertaining to our eternal life. The ground and the cause is in the blessed God that the Apostle Paul spoke of here in this third chapter, this third verse of the first chapter. But he said, all of these are in Christ. So really what took place, God has purposed and God has decreed and God has given every spiritual blessing which heaven can bestow. And they are upon us and for us, and they're in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. All which heaven can and will require. All which is needed to enter heaven and to enjoy heaven. All of these are given to us in and through our blessed God. And Christ is our head. And Christ is our representative. And brother, it's through Him and it's for His sake that they are conveyed upon us. It's for our good. It's for our good. So we find that He is the sum. Christ is the sum of all of these spiritual blessings. And Christ is the substance of all of these spiritual blessings. So, how can we do less than praise God for His grace? Secondly, I want to notice the means. You're not talking a lot about means, and there is. I want to secondly preach about them. The means of salvation as they were purposed, decreed, and prepared by the Father in His eternal counsel. The means. Let's go back and read verse 4 through 6. Here they are. Somebody said, well, I believe that God not only ordained to save people, I believe He ordained the means. Yeah, and they were some means in eternity. Now there's some means in time, but there were some means in eternity. And if you miss them in eternity, you're not much likely to catch them in time. According as He hath chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, and to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. So, when we notice the means of salvation, as they were purposed, decreed, and prepared by the Father in His eternal counsel, the first one is, the Father chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Not because that we were holy, but that we should be holy. That is very clearly said here in that fourth verse. And so God in eternity determined to have a people holy to populate a new heaven and a new earth. Therefore, He chose them in Christ out of Adam's fallen race. Did not Jesus say, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you"? And that's not all. Now, the choosing is a wonderful thing, but there's more to it than that. And He said, this is John 15:16, "And ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you." Paul wrote to Timothy about the same truth, and he said in 2 Timothy 1:9, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Then he said in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, "But we are bound to give thanks all the way to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to..." What? Some people don't believe that. You ain't chosen to salvation, you've chosen service. It says you're your chosen salvation. Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So we see that the means of salvation as they were purposed and decreed and prepared by the Father in His eternal counsel. Number one, is the Father chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And then number two in verse 5, the Father predestinated us under the adoption of His own children. No wonder, and that's through Jesus Christ. No wonder on the journey of the Apostle Paul, and when he went with zeal to his brethren, the Jews, and then when the Jews, you know, would have no part of it, and he turned to Gentiles, and it said in the 13th chapter of Acts, verse 14, it said, "When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and they glorified the word of the Lord." And then it says, "And as many as were ordained to eternal life believe." And all of that was because of the means that God purposed, decreed, and planned in eternity for His people. But then we see that God foreordained. He foreordained the persons. He foreordained the means. He foreordained the end, the goal of redemption according to God's good pleasure of His will. And that's why that we don't have any trouble with Romans 8:29-30. "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified." But another means of this salvation, as purposed and decreed and prepared by the Father in the eternal counsel, is the Father accepted us in Christ. In the Lord Jesus Christ, which is understood of our persons as righteous, redeemed, and sanctified in Christ. And He looks upon us as in Christ. And when He looks upon us as in Christ, He is well pleased. God has done all of this for the eternal praise of His glorious grace. The 7th verse of the 2nd chapter of Ephesians. "That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." Now the third thing that I want to mention here about salvation by the free grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ is the means as they were purposed and accomplished by Christ in His work of redemption. The salvation of grace in Christ comes through the operation of God the Father. It comes through the operation of God the Son. And it comes through the operation of God the Holy Spirit. That triune God that our brother sang about. So the third thing, the means of salvation, as they were purchased and accomplished by Christ in the work of redemption. That's in verse 7, here Ephesians 1 through 12. Now notice, in whom we have redemption. Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of the glory who first trusted in Christ. So what we see, first of all, in this means of salvation, as they were purchased and accomplished by Christ in the work of redemption, is Christ redeemed us by His blood. We were in bondage. We were in bondage to sin. We were in bondage to the law. And we were in bondage to the justice of God. Galatians 3:10 says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do thee." So in this redemption by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the law of God is honored by His obedience. The justice of God is satisfied by His death there at Calvary. Therefore, we have a full and a complete forgiveness of sin. According to Romans chapter 3, verse 19 through 26. But not only did Christ shed His blood at Calvary, but also Christ enlightened us to the mystery of the gospel of redemption. For look what He says in verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself. Paul, when writing to the church at Rome, said in Romans 16, 25 and 26, "Now to Him that is of power to establish you according to My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." I realize and I know, Paul, when he wrote to the church at Colossae, said, "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints." I recognize, even as Paul spoke to the Corinthian church, and he wrote what he wrote in that second chapter of Corinthians, and especially to what he said in verse 14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of God, they're foolishness unto him." And the reason they're foolishness unto him is because they're spiritually discerned. So what we see in the Lord Jesus Christ, we see both the wisdom and the power of God in redemption, for this He reveals to when He pleases to reveal. And you can't make Him reveal it. You can preach about it. You can pray about it. You can teach about it. And then He'll reveal it when He gets ready. And not only will He do that, but to whom He pleases. It's not only when He pleases, but it is to whom He pleases. So that all of this is working together for verse 10. In the time to come, He will gather all together. Then He says in verse 11, He says there that Christ enriched us. In Christ we were made God's children and we obtained that glorious inheritance of all things. Romans 8, 16 and 17 talks about that. But then also all of this Christ our Redeemer has done for the eternal praise of His glorious grace. In verse 12. Who among us can do His home? Who among us can say, "Look what I am"? But by the grace of God. And so we see that this is the eternal praise. This is what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30 and 31. He said, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." That's what he's speaking of. But then thirdly, the means of salvation as they were applied to the elect by the Holy Spirit. That's verse 13 and verse 14. "In whom y'all so trusted," and I underline these words after, "after that you heard the word of truth." Now I underline the word "after" because God's a God of order. He does it His way. He don't do it our way. He does it His way. He does it exactly the way He purposed it, the way He planned it, and the way He decreed it. And He said here, "in whom you also trusted after." See, I've been called Harvey the Heart Shape. Well, Cockrell calls me that all the time, Harvey the Heart Shape. That's joking me. And it's because I preach this truth. But you brethren preach these truths too. Every one of you. But I believe these truths the way the Bible has them. "In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth." How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how's the preacher going to preach unless he sees it? And so, "in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also," here it is again, "after," not before, "but after that ye believed," then what? "Ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, under the praise of" who? "Under the praise of His glory." It's like this. This is the means of salvation as applied to the elect of God by the Holy Spirit. We heard the gospel. Thank God the gospel was preached. You know why the gospel was preached? God sent somebody to preach the gospel. They didn't mealy-mouth around about it. Now they may, I'm going to give some illustration a little bit later on. They may have been reluctant, but God sent them and they went. See, you can't believe what I'm preaching and not believe the rest of it either. Because you cut God short. You shortchanged God. I'll tell you what I'm talking about. I know some of you are looking at me. It's sort of funny. 1 Thessalonians 1, 4 and 5. "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." Then he said, "For our gospel, it came unto you." Who sent it? "Our gospel came unto you," and he said, "in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know," and he said, "what manner of men we were among you for your sake." That's why Paul was happy. He preached the doctrine of grace. And he saw people saved that God saved by His marvelous grace. And then he went on, and I believe that Jesus even said, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have declared, desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them." All men hear words, but it's the Holy Spirit that quickens and gives the spiritual life and enables men to hear the gospel. Enable to hear men to hear how that Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again. They hear not just words, but they hear truth. They hear the good news of salvation. And then we believe the gospel. That's why Paul said, "Over grace are you saved." He said, "Through faith, And that not of yourselves. What is it? It's a gift of God. Why is it a gift of God? Not of works, lest any man should boast. And then he, I said so many other places, said, I preach Romans 10. I don't call it the Roman road. I steer away from them Roman road fellows. And then 10, it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in that heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then he goes on and says, and we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. I realize and know, he said, there's many verses, and not much that I have to say that I'm gonna honor my time. He said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. He is the first fruit. He's the pledge, the foretaste. He is are led to come to Christ, and we have the indwelling of that same Holy Spirit within us. It is because of that we are in full anticipation of our inheritance in God's good time. So all of this he does to the praise of the glory of his grace. Now, both Jews and Gentiles who belong to the election of grace, he saves and calls men to preach this truth. I really rejoiced with Brother Powell of the other night. Preached that great message. But some go like Jonah. Some go like Jonah. Did Jonah go? Did he go where God ordained for him to go? Did somebody else have to go for him? I don't believe that mess. You mean we got a God so great that he chooses a people? He decrees the means in eternity. He decrees the means through his Son. He decrees the means through the Holy Spirit. And then he can't send the man that he ordained to go. I told you that's going to say this. Jonah went to Tarshish. Tried to. What did he do? Paid the fare. God sent him an animal. Y'all know when he hit the ground, he hit it running. He's the only man I've ever known had a great revival and mad about it. Did he preach? Yeah. Did he go? Yeah. Why did he? Well, God ordained that he's the one who's going to go to Nineveh and preach. Can't punch holes in what I'm preaching. And then he said, well, you had more pity on the gourd. See, Jonah wanted to see God's destructive hand. And God sent a great revival by a man that didn't want to go preach, and then after that God gave a revival, he was mad about it. And that'll blow your Armenian evangelism all pieces, won't it? Brother, come on, think with me. Then some go like Jeremiah. Did Jeremiah go? Did he try to make excuses not to go? And you know, I was rejoicing Brother Powell's message, and And it was a glorious message, and I just sat there and I thought about all these fellers. And then this is what the Lord, you know, when he used all that excuse that I'm a child. But then the Lord said to him in verse 7 of Jeremiah 1, he said, "But the Lord said unto him, Say not I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." Did he do it? Did he want to? No. Until God made him willing. Moses was just like him, not an eloquent man. Had to have a mouthpiece. Last time you hear him, you couldn't shut his mouth. Some go like Isaiah. Hear my Lord, send me. Y'all know what happened. Some go like Paul. And Lord, what will they have me to do? But I'm going to tell you right now, they all go. His brother went to the mission field. He couldn't have gone nowhere else. He could have. He could have made a detour. Sometimes you make a detour, but you always wind up where God wants you. Y'all believe that God calls and places preachers where he wants them? You believe they preach what he tells them to preach? I do. So, he went to Jerusalem and he had bound in the Spirit. Then sometimes the Holy Spirit said, don't go over there. That'll blow scriptural evangelism today. I mean, unscriptural evangelism. Take off the date. That'll blow unscriptural evangelism. There must be the leadership of the Holy Spirit. There must be the working of the Holy Spirit. So, I said all of this to say that God's grace is free. God's grace is sovereign. God's grace is great. And God's grace brings salvation. So salvation is by God's free grace in Christ. Every aspect of it is the praise of the glory of His grace.